Praise the Lord. Praise God. I just want to read, just listen to me, just portion of this chapter in 1 Kings chapter 18. And it's this story about a man named Elijah. He was a prophet here in this book of the Old Testament and scripture. A man that just loved God, a man that believed in God, a man that spoke the words of God. And Elijah, at this particular time in his life, was one of a few good folks that believed in God, stood for God, and obeyed the commandments of God. This was a time where the country was in the control of a king named Ahab. The scripture tells us that leading up to him, he was the worst of his kind. He was wicked. He was evil. And he had led the people into a direction that was dark. And even now, as I've looked at this scripture, I'm reminded of a very dark season that we're in. And you've got to recognize that we're in a time where it's very ugly and there's wickedness everywhere and there's sin everywhere. And you and I, we are in need of a Savior. And it is time for you and I to walk, live in obedience to God, to surrender your life. And if you haven't done that tonight, I'm going to challenge you by the end of this to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why I'm standing up here. That there might be a few in here tonight that you're still kind of wrestling with things, still not quite sure. Maybe you just came in to get warm, or maybe you visit from time to time, or maybe you just feel like that just coming to church on a Sunday is a good thing, but it's not enough if you have not received Jesus Christ. Chapter 18 of 1 Kings, just a few portions of this I'll read. When Ahab the king saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" He called Elijah the troubler. And he answered, Elijah answered him back, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you've abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals." Now the Baals represented false gods. That's what Baal was. Baal was a false god. Not the one true God, the Heavenly Father. As we heard tonight, Daddy. That's not Daddy. Baal is not Daddy. And we have Baals today, carved images, things that we create. Thank you, sir. We have all these false gods that I want to begin to explain to you more what we've come to believe in. And many of these false gods, we create them ourselves, then we call them God, and then we worship them. And here, Elijah comes and says, "No, I'm not the troublemaker, you are." Those of you that have abandoned God, you see, when you step away and attempt to walk away from God, you invite trouble. That's exactly what it is. And so Elijah continues to talk on. Matter of fact, he comes to a place where he gathers everybody to come to speak to him. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. And now it goes on here. Quite a day this becomes. But a strong question that Elijah raises. How long will you continue to limp around with two opinions? How long will you continue to live with two ideas? How long will you continue to live a life two-sided? One moment receiving God, the other moment receiving the ways of the world, receiving the Baals, the idols, the gods. The message that I leave with you is titled, "The Gods Aren't Listening." And I'm talking about the lowercase g. I'm talking about false gods. I'm talking about the things that we worship that we've created. The things that we believe outside of the one true God, the Father in heaven. The Father, the only true God who sent his son, Jesus, down on the earth to die for our sins. That's the one true God. The other gods, they're not listening to you. Scripture tells us in this story that Elijah, by himself, one man who believed in the one true God, gathered all the people together, gathered Ahab together, and said also to your 450 prophets that also worship Baal, let them come too. And Elijah decides to put up a challenge. He brings everybody together, brings the 450 prophets together. He says, you know what? You want to see who's God? Let's make this happen right now. I want you 450 prophets, build your altar right here. The altar, a place, a piece of work that would be created in the attempt to bring worship to something higher than yourself. He said, you build your altar. I'm gonna build my altar. You build your altar with stones. Then I want you to put some wood on that altar. All right, and then we're gonna bring out two bulls. Because in that time, you needed to sacrifice something in order to give your worship to something else. And so bring out two bulls, says Elijah. I'm going to take one bull. You take the other bull. Cut it up the way you're supposed to. Cut the bull up. Lay it on the altar on top of the wood. Don't you dare put a fire to it, he tells them. Don't do it. Because whoever is the true God, they're going to put a fire to it. Because you got to remember here, Elijah is sick and tired of seeing the people of God limping around. And it's time to make a decision. The Bible tells us that you're going to have to choose ye this day whom you will serve. That word still applies tonight, this evening. That you're going to have to choose who you will serve. Choose this day. And so Elijah puts them to the challenge to choose this day who you're going to serve. And so he says, you take the bull, you cut it up. Don't you dare put a fire to it. I'm going to cut my bull up too, but you know what? I'm going to give you guys a head start. Seeing that there's 450 of you. Because right now we're in a time where it seems like those that do not want to follow God seem to be the majority. But that's okay. You choose this day who you will serve. And don't be swayed by the world. So scripture tells us that these 450 men, they build their altar and they put the wood up. They cut up the bull. And scripture tells us that they start to sing, dance, chant. The actual word that the scripture used says they started to limp around. You won't walk right in this life if you're worshiping the wrong God. To walk right is to worship the true God. But when you have two opinions and you're chasing after the things of the world, when you're chasing after the things that gratify your own flesh, you will never live this life the right way. It will always invite trouble. When you decide to pursue your own efforts, you will limp around like these 450 men. I can imagine them creating this huge altar with this big old fat bull that's just cut up and chopped up. And here they are, 450 men limping around the altar, singing their song. Singing and dancing. And they started in the morning. The dance started in the morning. And the scripture, the Bible tells us that by noon, there was no answer, no voice, no one paid attention. And then they got desperate, 450 men. First, it was a PG comedy as they were dancing around. Then all of a sudden, the rating went up because scripture tells us that they pulled out their swords and they started to cut themselves. And as they cut themselves, scripture tells us that they cut themselves so extensively that blood was gushing out everywhere. Still limping around, still chanting. Scripture tells us that they cried out to Baal, their God, cried out. And scripture tells us a second time, no answer, no voice, no one paid attention. Today, we still have people that are limping around, waiting to hear an answer from the gods that they've created, waiting to hear a voice, but no one paying attention. What are some of these gods? Ugh, the gods of alcohol. As men and women are in a drunken slumber, limping around, hoping that that God will somehow speak back to them. The gods of drugs, cocaine, heroin, weed, getting high in the hope that maybe I'll hear an answer. Maybe something will speak back to me. Maybe something will finally bring satisfaction to my soul. And everybody was gathered around this altar, 450 men and all the people watching as they limped around all day from the morning and into the evening, hoping that there would be an answer. You see, it had been 3 years that the people were without rain, without water. It was a drought. And yet they would still gather together to hope that they would hear the voice of their God. It was more than just a drought and rain. It was a spiritual drought. They were dry. They were empty. And they danced around. Even today, we still have people that are still cutting themselves when they come to the place that nobody cares. Nobody hears. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody's talking to me. Nobody hears my voice. My heart is broken to know that in this generation, there are many self-cutters. And not just teenagers and not just young adults, but adults are still cutting themselves. Locked away in their bathrooms, in their rooms, hopeless, feeling as though they're not worth anything, not knowing that these gods will never answer. And they limped around until it came to a particular time in the day where it was time for an offering, scripture tells us, a gift offering that would normally be offered. And they cried aloud. I can imagine them drained and wiped out, bleeding all over the place. An ugly picture. Elijah, he wasn't amused. At a certain point, as he's watching them limp around, he starts to yell at them. Hey, where's your God? Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's taking a bathroom break. Maybe he went on vacation. I don't know, but he's not responding. And it was a righteous aggression against the fact that they would spend that much time crying out to a God that doesn't exist. We spend so much time crying out to those things that will never respond to your soul that's empty. Some of us, we've spent too much time crying out to a boyfriend, crying out to a girlfriend who will never complete your soul. You spend time after time, you've made sex your God in the hope that that'll bring satisfaction for your soul. And that God is not listening and won't talk back. And every time you get in bed with somebody, you'll find yourself more and more empty. And every time you go from one relationship to the next relationship, you'll find your soul bleeding out as you limp around these altars, the altars of that club life, the altars of these parties that you go to, the altars of pornography, the altars of films that you shouldn't be watching, the altars of music that is degrading and wicked and perverse. And we have a generation that's just limping around. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. I'm pretty sure they didn't want to see that scene anymore. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Man, I can imagine that 450 guys, they all gathered together and built their altar. But one man on this side, he built it himself. Because he decided he was going to choose that day. As for him, he was going to serve the Lord. And he would not abandon God because he put his trust in God and he was obedient to the will of God. And he comes and I love what he does. He builds this altar, the stones, he brings the wood, he brings the bull, he cuts the bull up and lays it on top. And then he has some guys, he says, bring me four jars of water. And then they bring four jars of water. And so he's got these 12 stones laid out and the wood there and the bull cut up into pieces. And then Elijah had a trench dug around the entire altar. So there's this trench, like almost like a ditch, right? And then he says, pour the water on it. Pour the water right on the altar. Boom, as he pours it. He says, go back, do it a second time. They bring four jars again. A second time, they pour the water and it just flows right over the bull, onto the wood, right into the trench. Do it a third time. All right, and they do it a third time. They come back in four jars and they flood this altar. You know, and anybody know anything? You can't light a fire to something that's soaking wet, you know? And I can imagine everybody look and say, what's going on? And well, here's what's going on. What's about to happen is not a natural thing. And he wanted to make sure that when God shows up and reveals himself, it's not nothing in the natural. He's a living God full of power. And he's going to always show himself faithful. If you would believe, if you would be obedient, if you would give your life to Jesus Christ, he's going to do something here. It's nothing in the natural. And Elijah wanted to make sure this is no trick. This is no magic. This is no fantasy. This is no emotional experience. This has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with the power of God. And Elijah calls on God. He calls on him. He asks God. He says this. Oh, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I'm your servant, and that I have done all things at your word. Answer me, oh, Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, oh, Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. That is the will of God. That we would turn our hearts back to him. That is the desire of God. That you and I would know his mercy and his love. The gods aren't listening. But the Lord and Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords, he's listening to you. And when he prays this prayer, oh my goodness, I wish I could have been there. Oh my goodness. I mean, at this point, you got to understand, it's dark now, right? It's late in the evening. You know, everybody's gathered close. All right, here he is, and he's standing here. And all of a sudden, this fire just comes down from heaven. Whoa, watch. And not only does it come and light up the bull, it just wipes out the bull, wipes out the wood, wipes out the stones, wipes out the dust. Everything's just gone. It's the power of God, like a fire, just comes down and wipes everything out. Hallelujah. Fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. The wood, the stones, and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench, licked it all up in that trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. He is God. He demonstrates his power. He demonstrates his power in such a way that you and I would know that in his power, there's mercy and grace. He could have wiped us out for us limping around like this, attempting to hear the voice and the answer of pagan gods, gods that we've created in our own imaginations, in our vanity, in our pride, in the things that we adore and that we run and chase after because of our disobedience and our rebellion to chase after the gods of greed and selfishness and money and jobs and career and putting those things before the one true God. He could have wiped this out, but he demonstrates here that the power that he has is a power to give you and I his mercy. I'd like to think that for me, the fact that he just even wiped out the dust was a reminder for me. He could have wiped us out. He created us out of the dust. What a reminder. He wiped out the bull. Gone. You know why he demonstrated his power in such a way? Without killing you and I who are limping around in our rebellion? Because another sacrifice would come along. And that sacrifice would be his only son. No longer the bull. No longer the chopped wood. There would be another sacrifice that would carry another piece of wood to Calvary, to a place called the skull, a mountain. He would carry this piece of wood, a living sacrifice. That living sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one true God, the God that listens, the God that hears your cry, the God that responds with mercy and grace. And this living sacrifice, Jesus, would go to the cross and he would die the death that we deserved for limping around like this, for cutting ourselves, for exhausting ourselves in those areas of our lives that do not please God. But he would still go to the cross. You see, although I say to you, choose you this day who you will serve, before we even chose God, God chose us through his son, Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, lost in sin, he chose us. Because he desired that we would turn and face him, that we would turn from our wicked ways. Somebody needed to pay the price. So instead of us, God the Father in heaven, he gave us Jesus. He died for you and I so that we would believe in the one true God. The one true God. In Isaiah 30, the Bible says, you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. See, our God, he responds to the cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. What's the way? It's Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He is the one true God. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, then you will defile your carved idols, which means you'll finally get rid of them. Overlaid with silver and gold, these things that we believe in, these things that we've created, these things that we've pursued, you will scatter them as unclean things. You will say to them, be gone. Be gone. Tonight, there are some unclean idols that you've held on to. Will you say tonight, be gone? And will you draw unto the real, true God? King of kings, the one who hears, responds to our cry. You haven't been abandoned. The Father in heaven loves you, desires that you would know that you are his children. And we're adopted into this wonderful family through his son, Jesus Christ, who became the living sacrifice so that that all-consuming fire wouldn't destroy us. But it's a powerful fire. It's a refining fire, which means it comes down and it burns up everything that shouldn't be right. It's a refining fire. It's a purifying fire. Pastor Teresa spoke about it earlier. It's a flame that God can put inside of you if you would believe. It's the light of Jesus Christ. The light of Jesus Christ is hope for you. You don't have to feel hopeless limping around waiting for somebody to listen to you, to answer you as no one pays attention. God is paying attention, the one true God. Would you say to those unclean things, be gone? Listen, the scripture says, for everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, not some, everyone. You call on the name of the Lord. Would you stand up with me? Listen. Let's gather around the right altar tonight. I want you to come up here and pray to the one true living God. I want you to receive his power tonight. The power of Jesus to set you free from sin. The power of Jesus to set you free from the idols, the gods that you've been waiting to hear from, they're not going to respond. So why don't you tell them tonight, be gone. You know what that stuff is. Yes, you do. And if you need to tell that thing, be gone tonight, I want you to come down and pray. And I want you to repent and receive the forgiveness that you have in Jesus Christ and watch his power show up like that fire and set you free. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could you just lift your hands with me? I love to lift my hands. It just symbolizes that we surrender. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I confess to you my sin. I confess my doubt and my unbelief. I've limped around too long, looking in the wrong direction. Tonight, I give my life to you. I believe you're the one true God. You sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I receive salvation through Jesus Christ, his blood that was shed for me. Make me a new creature. Give me new life tonight that I may walk straight in your ways. I believe you're the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Jesus. Put a fire in me. Give me light. The power of hope, mercy, and grace that comes only from you, the one true God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You have family here. This is a journey we don't take by ourselves. I read a story where there was about 450 people that just didn't believe. We've got a whole lot more in here that believe. Amen. Hey, if you've received Jesus Christ tonight as Lord and Savior for the first time tonight, if you're recommitting your life to Jesus Christ tonight, I just want to encourage you, if you were to just walk down these two lanes right here, when you get to the lobby, just go downstairs. It's just a short little walk, but we've got family members ready to stand with you, to embrace you, to give you a little information, to stay connected with you so that we can get you connected to what we're doing here as a church. On Friday nights, we have these new believers classes. They're awesome. And maybe whether you're even recommitting your life to the Lord, maybe you've done something like that before, I encourage you, go back again. The good news never gets old. It's always good to go revisit. And there's just some great teachers that are teaching life, teaching the word of God. I just want to encourage you to get plugged in. as you take this journey. And there's some people downstairs that are ready to embrace you, to stand with you, to pray. Maybe you have some things you just need to pray about right now. They're downstairs ready to pray with you. Could you take that extra few minutes right now to just go and pray? I just want to just leave just a minute here just for you to go ahead and head back right now. If you could just turn and go, you don't have to stay up here any longer. And church, as they're walking down, you know what we like to do? We could just pray for them. Go ahead and go. Thank you so much. Go, just head down the aisle. The ushers will guide you. They know exactly where you can go. Praise God. Church, just pray for them as they're walking down. Let's just open up our mouths and pray for them as they're going down there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for souls. Thank you, Lord God, for those that are giving their life to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for those that are committing their life to the one true God. Hallelujah. 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 Pray for them. Pray for them. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Keep them, oh God. Keep them in your grace and in your mercy. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I've been blown away by the presence of God today. Humbled by it all. God is alive. And it is well with our soul in Christ Jesus. Would you come? Would you gather again this Tuesday night? Come. Let's before we sit down and have turkey, let's come and pray. Let's come Tuesday night. And let's come Tuesday night. Let's pray for our families. Some of you may have heard the word from the 3 o'clock service. I'm telling you, go back, visit the word. It's the 3 o'clock service and the 10 o'clock service. I'm telling you, I'm going to go back and visit myself and study that word. It's powerful. It's life. It was speaking about family and being courageous and knowing that God has anointed you in this hour to be a blessing to your family. So I encourage you to come back Tuesday and let's pray for our families. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for breakthrough so that when we do show up for Thanksgiving, boy, there's a fire lit up in us. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All glory belongs to you, oh God. You are the one true God. You're invincible. You're immortal. You are great. You are awesome. You are powerful. You are the most.